Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Minda Corporation Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pratik Ladha from Nirmal Bang Equities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Joshua. Good evening. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities, I welcome you to the Q2 FY25 earnings call of Minda Corporation. From the management team, we have Mr. Akash Minda, Executive Director, Mr. Vinod Raheja, Group CFO, Mr. Samir Sharma, Senior VP and Group Head Strategy and M&A, and Mr. Nitish Jain, Lead Investor Relations. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Akash Minda, sir, for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much, Pratik. And I thank Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities for hosting this call. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Quarter 2 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call for Minda Corporation Limited. I hope you're all doing well. It is a pleasure to connect with you all today, and I look forward to presenting our performance for the quarter and offering insights into the recent developments. We will begin with an overview of the industry performance, followed by a detailed discussion of Minda Corporation's financial and operational results for the quarter. In Quarter 2 FY25, industry growth has been moderate, with the two-wheeler segment leading in demand. The passenger vehicle segment experienced a slight decline, reflecting softer market demand, while the utility vehicle category showed robust performance, underscoring strong consumer interest in the SUVs and multifunctional vehicles. The commercial vehicle segment faced challenges due to a high base effect, prolonged monsoon delays, and adverse weather in all which constrained the market activities. Coming to the company performance highlights, I am very pleased to share that Minda Corporation continues its journey of balanced growth. The company achieved highest-ever quarterly revenue. The revenue from operations for the quarter was 1,290 crores, an 8% year-on-year increase and 8.2% quarter-on-quarter increase. The domestic OE business performed better than the industry, though it faced some headwinds due to subdued export demand from the European market, slowdown in ASEAN markets, and downturn in the commercial vehicle segment. In terms of profitability for the quarter, the company reported its highest-ever EBITDA in value terms at 147 crores at an EBITDA margin of 11.4%. PBT stood at 96 crores, with a PBT percentage of 7.4%. PAT margin was 74 crores, with a PAT margin at 5.8%. Now, let me take you through the key developments during the first half of the financial year. In the Quarter 2, lifetime order wins surpassed rupees 2,400 crores, with EV platforms taking up over 25% of these order wins. In the first 6 months of financial year 2025, the company's order book exceeded 4,750 crores, reflecting our expanding product portfolio, product premiumization, and rising demand for IC and EV products across segments and geographies. To meet this growing demand, the company is coming up with 4 new facilities: 2 in die casting, 1 in the instrument cluster division, and 1 in the wiring harness component division. In line with our strategic vision, Minda Corporation has also acquired a 24-acre land in Uttar Pradesh for future expansion. The company also signed a technological license agreement with Sanco Company from China to enhance its wiring harness product portfolio in line with offering our complete system solutions. in the EV segment. I will now take you through the presentation and covering the key highlights of the quarter two and first half of the financial year 25 performance. I request you all to now look at the presentation uploaded. From the page 2, which shares Spark Minda at a glance, in the financial year 24, we are about a 4,650 crore company with 514 crores of EBITDA, 28 manufacturing plants, 17,000 people, 5 business verticals, customers spread across the world, focused on engineering products, 10 partnerships, and stable financial structuring. Moving on to the next slide, which shows the Indian automotive industry performance. In the quarter two FY25, the industry overall grew by 8.8%, where two-wheelers grew the highest of 12.5%. Passenger vehicles were almost flat. Three vehicles grew by about 6%. Commercial vehicles degrew by about 13.3%. And tractors were also almost flat, but grew by about 3%. In the two-wheeler space, the premiumization trends remain in the focus, with premium two-wheeler segments in the demand. The expectations of good monsoon and festive season is likely to grow the demand further in the H2. Passenger vehicles showed a slight decline during the quarter due to softer demand in these segments. However, the utility vehicle category showed its overwhelming performance during the year. Commercial vehicle growth was lower due to various factors, including extended monsoons, as well as a higher base. The tractor segment showed some signs of recovery, but the expectations of above average monsoon is also likely to demand in the next half of the year. Moving on to the next slide, which is the key highlights and the key strategic developments. On the left side, which is the quarter two developments for the financial year, the company delivered its highest ever quarterly revenue with an 8% year-on-year increase. EBITDA margin stood at 11.4%, increased by 38 basis points. Total lifetime order book one was 2,400 crores, with EV constituting to about 25% of the total order book. The company signed a technical license agreement with Sanco, and we filed 8 new patents, taking the total patents to 285, showing our commitment towards innovation and investment into technology and R&D. For the first half of the year, the revenue grew by 9% despite macroeconomic challenges. We posted highest ever margin of 11.2%, growth of 38 basis points. Total lifetime order book in the first half was about 4,750 crores, and we signed 2 strategic partnerships. And total patents in the first half were filed about 14. Going on with the next 2 slides, which shares about the technology license agreement signed with Sanco. This partnership is for the products related to the wiring harness segment and the backward integration of the connectors in the high voltage and the EV area. This partnership will deliver comprehensive and customized electrical distribution systems for the electric vehicle market. And there will be various new products which will bring into the portfolio of Minda Corporation, such as the connectors, charging gun assemblies, sockets, bus bars, cell contact systems for batteries, power distribution systems, and battery distribution units. We are further expanding in our brownfield facility in our component division to come up and offer these products to the Indian market and even exports. Moving on to the next slide, shows the quarter two financial numbers, which shows our operating revenue increased by 8% year-on-year. Gross margin increased to 37%, which is 38 basis points. EBITDA stood at 147 crores. EBITDA margin was about 11.4%. PBT was 96 crores and at 7.4%, and PAT was 74 crores at 5.8%. Moving on to the next slide, which shows the year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter growth momentum on the financial highlights. On the top of the table shows the quarter two numbers, and the bottom part shows the half year numbers. If you look at, again, on quarter on quarter and year on year movement, on the quarter on quarter, we also moved from 1192 crores to 1290 crores. In the half yearly, from 2,270 crores, it grew by 9% to 2,482 crores. At EBITDA, to show our balanced growth, our EBITDA for the fifth straight quarter has moved from consistent 11% to 11.4% in this quarter, marking a 11% jump from quarter-on-quarter basis and 12% jump from year-on-year basis from 131 crores EBITDA to 147 crores EBITDA. On a half-yearly basis, the EBITDA has grown from 246 crores to 278 crores, from a 10.8% margin to 11.2% margin with a growth of 13%. PAT has grown from 59 crores from previous year to 74 crores, showing a growth of 26%, and at a half-yearly basis has grown from 104 crores to 139 crores, showing a growth of 33% on year-on-year basis. Moving on to the next slide, which is the business vertical performance for the quarter two and first half. On the top left, it shows the mechatronics aftermarket other businesses, which has grown from 575 crores to 639 crores on year-on-year basis, which is at 11% growth. And on the right side, on a year-on-year basis on the first half, it has grown by 12% from 1,088 crores to 1,213 crores. The major factors that led to growth was a strong demand in the domestic two-wheeler segment and premiumization of the existing products. However, it was challenged by subdued export demand and slowed on the ASEAN market. In the bottom part, which is the information and connected systems, the sales grew from 621 crores to 651 crores, marking only 5% growth. Major challenges were due to the commercial vehicle downturn, and on a half-yearly basis, it grew from 1,182 crores to 1,269 crores, marking a 7% growth. Moving on to the next slide, which is the revenue breakup for the year by product and by geography and end market. If you look at quarter 2/24 to quarter 2/FY25, wiring harness continues to be about 30-35%, and this quarter is 32. Lock set or vehicle access about 23%. Die casting division, which is DCD, stands for about 18%, as this segment is growing, as well as our instrument cluster business is also continuing to grow, which is now contributing to about 17%, and other new products, which is the EV products and other products such as the sensors, are also moving to about 10%. By geography, Indian domestic market continues to be on the growth, which is contributing to about 88%. Pure exports to Europe and North America is about 8%, and South Asian market, which is the Indonesian, Vietnam, are about 5% of the revenue. By end market, two-wheeler and three-wheeler constitute to be about 46-47%. Commercial vehicle is about 26%. Aftermarket is about 11-12%, and passenger vehicle is about 15%. On the next slide of consolidated leverage position and the financial snapshot of the first half, the net worth has increased from 1,981 crores to 2,102 crores in 6 months. Long-term borrowing has reduced from 203 crores to 170 crores. On a short-term borrowing has increased by 20 crores from 145 to 164. Our gross debt has come down by about 14 crores, making our total net debt to about 160 crores, and net debt to net worth is about 0.08x. Capital employed is 1,873 crores, and our ROC is about 21%, with our focus to increase this to about 25%. We now move to the last section on the ESG and transforming towards sustainable mobility. At Minda Corporation, we are focused on sustainable operations, care for people, ethical businesses, inclusive growth, and responsible value chain. Further details can be taken online from our company website. On the next slide, we continue to give back to the society by our various activities and initiatives, such as the World on Wheels for training people and students across villages, for empowerment of PWD people and employing them at our facilities and plants, our prison programs, which are the most exclusive programs in India, and other activities as well. The last slide, which shows about awards and achievements where our customers and industry bodies continue to award Minda Corporation on account of quality, technology, development, employment, and HR practices. Beyond this, there is a group company profile and presentation, which I believe and I request that all of you can read and understand more, and if there are any questions, we'll be more than happy to answer. With this, I will now request to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Raghunandan from Nuvama Research. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Congratulations on strong set of numbers. Firstly, on Sanco, now that you are working towards building a series of products which you highlighted, number one is, how does it open new revenue opportunities for you? And number two is, in your efforts relating to localization, how can this help, and how can the percentage of localization increase?
Hi, Raghunandan. Thank you for your question. So Sanco is a very well-known company in China, supplying to almost all the OEMs in China, whether they are German, Japanese, or Chinese, or even American OEMs. So this product category is in our short-term and long-term plan for doing backward integration and making our own competitiveness and building our company capabilities for connection systems. While the EV penetration is increasing, we are focusing on how we can continue to localize and backward integrate and build our competitive edge. There are various products that are part of this alliance as a first step in terms of the technical license agreement. As I mentioned before, there are these high voltage connectors, then there are the EV charging guns and charging sockets, bus bars, battery cell contact connectors, and various other product lines. We are already working with various customers in two-wheeler, three-wheeler, commercial vehicle, passenger vehicles, OEMs in India, where we've already received RFQs and almost towards business nomination as of date for increasing our competitiveness. So this is going to be as a system solution offering, and with an immediate EV penetration that is there in the current market, this can increase our business potential to more than 1,000 crores in the current products that are offered in the first phase.
So this 1,000 crores is the potential revenues you are looking at, sir?
No, this is the current immediately available, total available market in the current products that are there, as well as in the market that is available.
Understood, sir. And given that Sanco has tie-up with German, Japanese, American OEMs, would you be able to leverage Sanco's relationship to win new businesses?
Yes, of course. So we already have received various RFQs from Sanco's customers in India. So we are working with them in order to cater to these customers also.
And sir, with the efforts on localization and also your revenues are seeing a decent scale improvement, plus your ongoing cost reduction efforts, you have already posted a wonderful margin this quarter. How are you in the journey towards the 12% margin target?
So, thanks for that question, Raghunandan. See, as Minda Corporation, we are pivoting the organization to be a more stronger company and being more competitive in our vision to create long-term shareholder value creation. So we are focusing on quality of revenue by focusing on sustained customers. We are focusing on quality of product mix with the new order book and new products and technology that we are launching. We are focusing on quality of earnings, which are more economically valued, accretive to Minda Corporation. So we are taking conscious call on all of these parameters when we are approaching and winning any new business or customers going forward. In spite of building our core, we are able to deliver about 8% growth. We are not in the race or, sales growth race. We are focusing on how we can be more competitive and build our core. And while building our core, we have been able to deliver 8%, which I am, very confident that with the initiatives and investments that we are doing, we are going to grow this even beyond. Of course, in one or two segments, maybe in a quarter, for example, this quarter, the commercial vehicles may not have supported us. But with the right customer mix, with the right product mix, we are building a more sustainable and long-term company. So with our commitment that we have made in the past few quarters and years to grow to about 12%, in the last 5 quarters, we have sustainably and consistently delivered higher than 11% EBITDA margin while growing our top line as well, which is, again, in our commitment to build our core and being more competitive.
Got it, sir. Thanks for that comprehensive answer. Mr. Minda, along with HCMF, is setting the new plant in Pune to be commissioned in FY26 for sunroof closure systems. Can you talk about the status, how that work is progressing, any orders you can talk about?
Yes. So as we've already explained before, we are under discussion with various customers. The customer models that are expected to launch soon with our HCMF customers being in India, we are working with them aggressively. The facility that we have already started commissioning with our partners is underway. Also with the other products that HCMF is offering, we are under advanced discussions with Indian OEMs to win those products and start SOP maybe 2 years for any upcoming models.
I got it, sir.
Sorry.
I'll fall back to the queue.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Sridhar Kalani from Axis Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Good evening, Akash sir. My first question is continuing with the previous query regarding sunroof and closure systems. So are we on track for the plant to be commissioned in Q1 FY26?
Sorry, we can't hear you clearly.
I am asking, are we on track to commission the plant in Q1 FY26, the sunroof and closure systems plant?
Yes, so we are in line with the quarter one. Of course, there could be maybe a month or two delay. But yes, we are in line in order to move forward and set up the facility. Hello?
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Nihal Shah from Prudent Corporate Advisor. Yeah, please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for the great set of numbers. So as you've alluded as well, that the passenger vehicle numbers have been a bit soft for this quarter. So how do we see ourselves positioned in such a difficult time for the auto industry as a whole, and how do we expect ourselves to grow in such an environment, and how much of the premiumization trend do you feel is behind us now?
So thank you, Nihal, for this question. As I mentioned, yes, in the long run, the automotive industry in India particularly is expected to do very well. While there are a lot of macroeconomic factors which shows that industry is expected to do very well. All the customers, which are the manufacturers, are enhancing their capacities and many of the tier one component players or automotive system solutions like us are also expanding capacities. So we have been directed by our customers to invest in building the capability, competencies and capacities, which we are doing across segments and across products. Also for the order wins that Minda Corporation has done, we are creating and setting up more facilities, as I already explained in this call and before, in order to deliver to the order wins that have already happened. Yes, in a quarter-on-quarter basis, maybe in the midterm, one quarter or two quarter, one segment may not do as better as the other one. But in the midterm to long run, the automotive industry is expected to do well. Of course, with the export opportunities that are coming up from the Indian space, is something that Minda Corporation is looking forward to harness. Our growth drivers, as we have already shared before, are going to be three or four. Number one is the product premiumizations across our product segments. So number one is the vehicle access systems, where we are offering new and new products, as well as the annual selling price of our products are increasing. In this particular category, we have added new products in terms of the power tailgate, the flush door handles, the different latches coming in, and other some products which we'll be launching soon. In the second business domain, which is the electrical distribution system, for not only the wiring harness, but also other connectors, power distribution unit, battery distribution unit, and other products like Sanco that we are looking at already offering to the marketer system solution offering. The third is the die casting or the lightweighting, where is more four-wheeler driven, and we have already won a lot of orders in terms of motor housings or battery casings and other such technologies, even for domestic and export. Fourth is our driver information system, where we are offering a system solution product. So not only standalone clusters, but cockpits, heads-up display and other technologies coming up, increasing the tech value. And our newest vertical, which is the electronics, which offers products like shark fin antenna, telematics, intelligent transportation system, EV products as well, is also adding new product lines. So this is the first category of products. Second is the markets. So the additional new markets in terms of exports. Third is the customers. So deeper penetration into the existing and new customers that we have in India across segments. So these are the three, four areas on how Minda Corporation is expected to grow further in terms of the market. Of course, as I mentioned, we are building our, we're taking our conscious call in terms of quality of our revenue, quality of our product mix, and quality of our earnings, putting all together to become more agile going forward.
Okay, thank you very much for the detailed answer. And what is the level at which we expect our debt to stay, given the level of capex that we are expected to do in the next couple of years?
So I will ask our CFO to take this question.
Well, we are net zero debt company if you consider the value of investments that we have. And over a period of next 2 to 3 years, we feel that we should be doing capex of about 300-350 crore per annum. And given our internal accrual and cash flow generation, largely this should be funded through internal accruals only.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Jay Kale from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir, and thanks for taking my question. And congrats on a good set of results. So my first question was regarding your product segment. If I see your, Luxus division contribution on a YOY basis has declined. Now I understand, you would be, Luxus is mainly two-wheelers. And while segment-wise, your commercial vehicles would have seen pressure. So just wanted to understand what would be happening in the Luxus division. Are you seeing some kind of slowdown in terms of the adoption of the smart key solutions, or what exactly is the scenario over there? And in similar lines, we've seen a very strong growth in your DCB division. So if you could just throw some light on, are we gaining share over there? Are there any addition of new products, new geographies, anything on that side?
Hi Jay. So again, our SSD division continues to grow. But it is just that the other divisions are continuing to grow a little faster. So that's the only thing. Of course, the smart key penetration continues to be in line with our forecast before, particularly in the two-wheeler area and now growing into other segments. So we have, for the first time, launched new products in other vehicle segments, which you will see in the upcoming months with new vehicle launches. Due to confidentiality, I can't share. But we've been present in the two-wheeler and four-wheeler space. Now you will see in other segments also coming out of products coming out of Minda Corporation. So coming to the die-casting division per se, that is a division which is growing fast because of the kit value offering that is there, particularly in the EV segment and the four-wheeler space. So here we are offering a good amount of exports business to Europe and U.S. markets, both for ICE as well as EV powertrain products, and further penetrating into the Indian four-wheeler market as well. So these are our initiatives that we are taking for the die-casting, and we are also coming up with two new facilities, one in west and one in north, for catering this demand and expanding into other segments within the aluminum casting space.
Okay, understood. And also on your export side, we have seen that being a drag on your revenue growth for the last few quarters. Now it seems to have stabilized in terms of contribution. So how do you see exports going forward? Have we seen the bottom over there, or there is still some more pressure going forward?
So as far as exports are concerned, I think, compared to last year, until previous quarter, there was a year-on-year decline. But now I think, we are flattish when it comes to the states. Of course, the order intake continues. However, we do not see a higher uptake in the next 6 months when it comes to the exports, primarily the Europe region due to the various macroeconomic factors. And now with the new elections in the U.S., we have to really see on how this market pans out. But we have put in our actions in place in order for dual shoring, near shoring when it comes to the opportunities to the American market.
Okay, understood. And also, just lastly on the TLA with Sanco, would you be? Of course, you mentioned about connectors, but you'd be providing the entire high voltage battery system, electrical distribution systems, right, along with all the components. So when you do RFQ or you have an order from the OEM, it will be directly to the OEM and not necessarily as a tier two supplier to the wiring harness players who would be taking your connectors. Is that understanding correct? You would be providing the entire high voltage system to the OEMs?
It is both ways. In most of the cases, it is a direct to OEMs. And in some cases, yes, it could be directly to, or it could be to tier ones also. And again, for the battery pack, I would just like to correct you. We will not make the battery packs. It is a self-contact system that go to the battery, which of course will be a tier one supply. But the connector system, the charging guns, the PDU and the VDUs will directly go to the OEMs.
Yeah, I meant to say battery wise. Yeah, correct. Okay. Just wanted to understand, wouldn't the larger wiring harness players would also want to make the connectors or localize the connectors themselves rather than buying them out? Or are you seeing requests from larger wiring harness players to get them trying to source connectors from outside players like you?
So it depends on the customer, where the directed source is, and how we are able to incorporate these products into the customer drawings. So yes, that's what we've been able to do. So, and as I explained, we've already received various inquiries and in advanced stages of closure of businesses while putting our products into the architecture of the vehicle. So that will depend, and whether it will be from us or it could be others. But since having the localized opportunities in India, we have the early mover advantage, you can say, in order to offer the products to the customers in the design phase.
Understood. And does this accelerate your journey of...
Sir, would just please request you to join the queue for questions.
I'll come back in with you. Yeah.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Nandan Pradhan from Emkay Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes.
Hello. Yeah. Hello. So thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. My first question is along the lines of the smart key order we had mentioned in the Q1 call that it was meant to start from this year, so this quarter. So just wanted to understand the progress on that.
Smart key orders continue to, you know, get deeper penetration, and depending on the SOPs of the customers that are there. Of course, in quarter one, we had sales, you know, to the two-wheeler OEMs, but in quarter two, our sales to Japanese OEMs have also started. So yes, that is the SOP or the startup production has already happened within the quarter two.
Okay. So, secondly, on the TLA with Sanco, since we are developing it locally, just wanted to understand, would the materials would be also sourced locally, or would there be some level of import content in these products?
So there's a localization roadmap always, right? And so we already have that aligned with our customers and partners on how we are going to have phase-wise localization. But to achieve the higher domestic value add, from day one, we will be achieving that as per the government requirements.
Okay, so I think that's it from my end. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Parag Thakkar from Ford Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, I'm audible?
Yes, Parag.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity and congratulations for a very strong set of numbers. So basically, what we are observing is that as you rightly said, that the macroeconomic environment is tough, and so the revenue growth is, say, below 10% at around 8%. But still, you managed to grow your EBITDA by around 12%. So, do you feel that this trend will continue because of, as you rightly pointed out, that you are focusing on quality of growth? So, EBITDA growth will outpace the revenue growth. That was my first question. The second question is, we have seen good numbers in October month from some of the two-wheeler companies and some of the OEMs in four-wheeler also, like, to be specific, M&M and all. So do you feel that at least in second half, the revenue growth will also accelerate better than what we have seen in Q2? And third thing, I'll just ask that. For example, many of your good customers, OEMs like M&M and all, are launching electric SUVs and all. So whether we'll be also part of their supply chain, and whether that whether content per vehicle will also increase in those kind of models which are going to be launched by OEMs,
yes,
like M&M to be specific.
Yes, perhaps I'll answer the last question first. Yes, we are part of the various products that are going into the battery electric vehicle of our customers. Yes, we continue to have a deeper penetration in line with our commitment to grow the four-wheeler products in our customers and our product range. So yes, you will see those products when that product launches. On your first and second question, when it comes to the revenue growth and the EBITDA growth, as I stated, we are in the midst of pivoting the group and the company towards making it a more competitive organization in line with our commitment to outpace the industry as well as grow in the line of the industry growth. So while the revenue has domestic revenue has grown ahead of the industry, however, some factors like the export and the commercial vehicle segments have pulled us back. Also, when it comes to our quality of revenue with sustained customers is very important. While we had won some orders in the previous years from large two-wheeler EV OEMs, but we have not seen light in those customers due to some reason. As the customers have not started production. So that is, I think, most important where we are pivoting. Second is the quality of the product mix, which is going to give us higher revenue in terms of the order books that we have done in past. And we have been very, very conscious in terms of the customers and the products that we are choosing. And third is the earnings, which you mentioned. Quality of earnings is the focus for being economically more value accretive. So in this quarter and the last 5 quarters, with our commitment to consistency and sustainable EBITDA numbers, we've been growing our EBITDA absolute value as well as percentage quarter on quarter for the last five quarters and more. So yes, we will and we are going to achieve towards 12%. But most important for us is consistency, and which is what we are delivering. So in the process of building our core, I am very confident that achieving the double digit sales growth number is just for us very easy. But in this overall scheme of being competitive, I think achieving an 8% at the moment is something that we are where we are. So very, very positive in terms of the future outlook, and taking this organization towards a double-digit growth as well as the 11.5% to 12% EBITDA numbers.
So last question. Congratulations for achieving 20% ROCE, and of course the net debt is also very negligible. So, sir, definitely you will be looking for inorganic opportunities also. So, to grow your business. One thing which, as a shareholder, as an investor, I would like to say is that whenever you do any organic, inorganic acquisition or something, the ROC metrics will be kept in focus, right? You will not compromise too much on ROC, even if you are exploring inorganic opportunities, right? Because, see, definitely EBITDA growth is paramount, of course, and the PAT growth, of course, but ROC, you are saying that you are aspiring for 25%, which makes us very happy as a shareholder. So while exploring inorganic opportunities, ROC will be a metric which you will consider, right?
Absolutely, Raji. We have very strong financial prudence matrix internally approved by Board of Directors on capital allocation, and any kind of inorganic or capital allocation cannot dilute our ROC. So ROCE above 20% is our prime capital allocation financial focus.
Excellent, sir. Thanks a lot. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Shweta from Arihant Capital Market Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Good evening, sir. There is a couple of questions with regard to export revenue. So with export sales flat year on year, what additional measures the company is taking to boost the demand in Europe and the USA, particularly in response to the subdued demand for die casting business?
Yes, Shweta, we are taking various measures. Of course, I will not be able to share them due to our competitive advantage in that. But yes, we are always on, creating new avenues and new opportunities on how we can grow our export market, whether for the existing order ones already or for the new businesses.
Okay. So, any specific growth targets for exports over the next 12 or 18 months?
Ma'am, I can share with you that in the midterm to long term, from current about 7%, our growth from the exports is expected to be, and our target rather is to be about 10 to 15%. And in that respect, we already have the order book in place. And we're continuously booking orders. I may not be able to comment in the next 12 to 18 months as there are various macroeconomic factors that are going to play in.
Okay. And sir, could you please provide the breakdown of export revenue by a product segment if possible?
Ms. Shweta, if I may request, you could get in touch with our IR team after this for a detailed breakup, and we'd be happy to share whatever we can.
Okay, sure, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Sridhar Kalani from Access Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, Sridhar. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. So I have a question regarding the order book, where you have mentioned that you have 4,750 crore of order book. If you could help us understand what is the end user segment mix for the same and annual peak revenues that we can generate from this order book?
Yes, the annual peak revenue typically is, you know, divided by 4 or 5. The peak value basically starts coming in from, let's say, second year after start of production. And again, in the automotive, once we win the business, typically the start of production happens about 12 to 18 months from where we win the business. So if we won the business in H1 for about 4,700 crores, divided by 4 or 5, you can say about 1,100 crores, that would start coming in from the 18 to 24 months from now. And the peak value should come, let's say, 2.5 years from here on. But out of this 1,100 crores, it also depends on how much is replacement business and how much is new business. So that also plays a factor, and typically it's about 60-40. 60 is new business and 40 is replacement business.
Understood. And also, what would be the end user segment mix, like in the order book, two-wheeler order book, make percentage for four-wheeler and commercial vehicle, what would be the mix?
So it is in line with our current revenues. So again, two-wheelers and three-wheeler continues to be, I think, about 40% of the total order book. Four-wheelers is somewhere about 20%. The rest is the commercial vehicles and off-road.
Understood. And does the order book include any orders for the sunroof and closure systems?
Yes, as I've explained before, we are setting up the facility there. So we are under advanced discussions with customers. Some of the product launches have been finalized or is being finalized with the customers. So I'll update you as and when we do that.
Understood, sir. And my second question was regard to the commercial vehicle business. So we mainly deal with MHCV segment or LCV segment, sir?
We are catering to all the segments of commercial vehicles, which is LCV or medium and even high commercial vehicles. So further details, of course, our IR team can give you. We are catering to all the segments of the commercial vehicle, 1 ton, 2 tons, 15 tons, 20 tons.
So my main reason to ask was, at the ground level, how are you seeing the trajectory of the commercial vehicle business going ahead, since it has been subdued for quite some time over the past 1 year? How's the ground level purchase orders, or anything you could share your trend view in the commercial vehicle space?
So I would request you to ask those questions to the commercial vehicle OEM manufacturers. They can tell you better. For our customers, I cannot comment, but for the industry outlook, definitely, with the new government coming in and the macroeconomic, or the company, the infrastructure expense and the other investments that the government is doing, I think definitely is going to improve. If you see before a year, the mining authorities, as well as the 15% extra in terms of the weightage allowance that the government had done, this created extra capacities for the commercial vehicle segments. So as and when policies, as well as the government changes and increasing the expenditure, I think you will start seeing commercial vehicles to pick up more.
Understood, sir. And my last question is a bookkeeping question with regards to employees as a percentage to sales, which we have seen a decrease in this quarter. Has there been any appraisals delay in accounting, or there has been some reduction in employees, or any major steps that we have taken with regards to the employees?
So I will ask our CFO to answer, but on the employee front, all I can share is that as an organization, we value the employees the most, and we have taken various measures strategically to build our talent and capability and competency of people from within, from the lower space even to the highest. So we are taking various measures in order for optimization, better productivity, and talent growth from within the organization.
Understood.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. The last question is from the line of Shaili Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, where do we stand in terms of localization and what are our targets for next coming 1 or 2 years for local? How are we localizing and what steps are we taking on?
Hi, good evening, Shari. That's a very broad question. So, but if you look at our RMC is about, 63%. We are not importing too much, but there are some commodities and components like semiconductors, displays and some connectors that we are currently importing from China, or if there are some directed materials from our customers. As a localization, we as an organization are investing, in terms of building our capabilities as well as our supplier base in order to, beat the localization or import challenges and creating competency within India. So we continue to invest some of the, equipments as well as their technology capabilities for offering localized solutions to our customers as end products, which we are maybe currently importing and selling, or for our backward integration in terms of the child parts or the component that I explained to you, which open up new avenues for us as a business segment, as well as our creating competitiveness for our customers in terms of the electronics or connectors and other such commodities. So I may not be able to give you a percentage or a number on the call at the moment, but we have created a small team in order to focus on reduction in or increasing in localization and reduction in import component costs.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shaila. Shaili.
Thank you so much. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much, once again, good evening for joining this call. I would like to again share that Minda Corporation is on the trajectory to honor our commitments for consistent and sustainable growth on quarter-on-quarter and year-on-year basis. We are pivoting and building more competitive organization and investing further in our competency, capabilities and capacities in our manufacturing as well as in our engineering footprint. Our focus is how we can invest and become a technology-led company in India with focus on best operational excellence. Our growth focus is on how we can outperform the market as well as become the leader when it comes to the financial parameters within the automotive segment. We continue to look for inorganic partnerships, and this is going to be the driving force for us going forward. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll be happy to take any questions outside this. Thank you.
On behalf of Nirmal Bang Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.